welcome to another edition of Visions. And today I'll be sharing the studio with an extremely influential, active Caribbean man. And we'll be talking about the Caribbean Disability Network. I have with me Andrew Sharp. Welcome to Visions, Andrew.
Hi, welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Andrew, I want us to get off the mark by sharing a little about who are you?
Thank you. Who am I? Not like what Beanie Man said, girl, them sugar. I'm Andrew Sharp. I am born in Jamaica. And I call myself a Caribbean man. And now I've migrated to the United States, but I still do a lot of work in the Caribbean. And I'm happy to say that I'm a philanthropist. I'm an actor. I'm a media broadcaster. And I'm a God-fearing person. That's who I am.
Wonderful to know. Wonderful to know. So, Andrew, we first came in contact last year when you coordinated a regional meeting in Grenada. So tell us about your organization and why you think it is so important to do philanthropy.
Well, I'm very happy that I had the opportunity while I was living in Jamaica, and actually in the Caribbean, not just only Jamaica. I had the opportunity to gain knowledge in the tourism sector and the banking sector as an accountant and also someone who used to work in the tourism industry. So when I migrated to the United States, I was like, what else can I add to my portfolio or bio? And I was keenly interested in terms of how can I give back? How can I make the Caribbean a better place? And I started the Authentic Caribbean Foundation. And when I migrated, I did a workshop on how to start a nonprofit organization and what I needed to be done. And one of those stuff was a mission. What was the mission? What's the area that you wanted to focus on? And I realized that in the Caribbean, disability was something that was always left behind with family members who are of disability community and myself who has a hidden disability. I decided that it was important that I action this call. And I always say, as I'm a God-fearing person, it seems like it is He put me there for this purpose of creating this nonprofit to help build back and give back to the region and also support my community where I'm residing. And over 12 years, the Authentic Caribbean Foundation has been established supporting kids with disabilities. And when I started, I choose several islands that I would work with to help support those countries' disability community. I ended up working with 6 Caribbean countries, including my country, Jamaica, that I'm from, the land of my birth. And I realized while working with 6 of these countries, everyone was doing their own thing and nobody wasn't collaborating or sharing information. And I said, you know what? I could bring all of these people together. I have all of these network partners in the region. Let us come together and see how we can amplify in one voice. And that's what came about with the Disability Conference, because my motto is One Caribbean, and working across the region, I always say we must have one voice, one Caribbean. So this is how it came about, the Caribbean Disability Conference. A group of us who are in the field, I pulled them together and we started the discussion and said, why not put together a Caribbean Disability Conference, which consists of not just only the English-speaking Caribbean countries or CARICOM member country, but also encompass the Dutch, the French, and the British-speaking countries. And also we looked at the importance of, if one thing is done in one island, why not have it duplicated or being done across the region? And this came about the Caribbean Disability Conference that was held in Grenada last year, very successful, and outlined a lot of the issues that worldwide and the region been faced, which is, barriers to inclusion, advocacy, legislation, mental health, crucial aspects that we all are affected in the disability community. And then we met everybody, including yourself, Udalee, all was at the conference, and we said, you know what, let's take it to another level. Let's create a network. Let's create this Caribbean Disability Network. And there it is, the birth of a resolution was passed, everybody signed on, and we created a network, the Caribbean Disability Network, which will be a big driving force for changes in the Caribbean. Because again, I always say there is so many research papers, but there is little small evidence of implementation of all of these research. And the drive, according to the mandate by the United Nations and the OAS, Organization of American States, that civil society plays a key role with the implementation and working hands in hands together with government to achieve sustainable development goals. And to achieve some of these goals, you definitely need players. As they say in my country, one hand can't clap.
We say it too. Yes, we say it as well. And it's definitely true. So, as you talk about the birth of the Caribbean Disability Network, you mentioned your Authentic Caribbean Foundation working 12 years so far out of the US. Tell us some of the projects that you may have completed in the Caribbean.
Well, I must say, boy, when I look back and we did a review after we reached 10 years, we were so impressed with the amount of work that we've been doing. So we've been supporting special needs schools with supplies, so back to school, any requests for wheelchair that they might need. During the hurricane, we supported to make sure that special need disability community are taken care of. Got supplies, got supported. So we have done a lot in terms of disaster preparedness. For instance, St. Vincent and the Grenadines volcano eruption, we were able to send a large amount of donation and support disaster effort in the disability community. And one of my mission at ACF, our programs, out of our mission, but our programs, we have the three programs: learning disability, kids for arts, and pediatric. So with the pediatric equipment, we continue to supply goods, wheelchair walkers and stuff to the region to help those persons who don't have money and need those supplies. And we've been continually doing that effectively. Learning disability, that we realize that here we are in a state that is number one in education. How can we utilize resources to help build training in the region? And we have trained over 800 teachers so far in neurodiversion inclusive classroom training for dyslexia, autism, and ADHD students. So we have trained these tutors in partnership with Lesley University, special need teachers, and that's what we have accomplished. And we must big up UNICEF for some support and the funding, and the Boston Foundation, who have given us funding to help with this training. And we are now planning to expand the training because it's needed for general teachers. So we plan to expand that training to the general teachers in the classrooms that need that kind of support, how to deal with a child, because not everyone is going to be in a special needs school. And I don't like the initiative of special needs school because I'm all against segregation, and that's a form of discrimination and stereotyping persons. So I'm happy to say that we're going to be supporting general teachers so we equip them how to handle and how to create inclusive classroom training for all
Thanks.
kids and
Yeah.
integrate into the general classroom so they are belonged and not be put away at one specific school and not being part of the whole community world. So breaking down that barrier. So that's one stuff I've done in the region. I have tirelessly advocating for the Disability Act in the region. I am providing voices with the government of Jamaica to say, hey, we need a Disability Act gadgeted, and we were happy to get it gadgeted because it was just sitting down there. So we were part of the advocacy process with that. We have engagement in US Caribbean strategic policy in terms of how we can ensure that disability inclusion is mentioned in policy work, especially in education aspect of US Caribbean strategic plans, goals. So those are some of the stuff I've done. I've represented my organization on the world stage at the Summit of the Americas and the United Nations Civil Society Conference in Kenya. So I'm really happy to see where we're going in terms of the work the Authentic Caribbean Foundation is doing to really strengthen its relationship and build a strong region in health and education.
Fantastic. And health, education, transport, employment, these are some of the key areas that always need strengthening and refocusing in the Caribbean so as to meet the needs of our citizens. Now, Andrew, you mentioned your philanthropy work with Authentic Caribbean Foundation and how you have reached out to support some of the disability groups within the Caribbean. One of the areas that I would like you to speak to is that of rehabilitation, because that is extremely vital for the survival and reintegration of individuals with disabilities into the various social aspects of Caribbean life. How would you say we are doing in that area, and what more would you like to see happening?
Well, I must say that we're not even at 50% of the progress that we're rehabilitating people. One, we need to do an assessment on what is there for these people, what aspect. Because sometimes when you hear, oh, there are social services, there are social things in place, but then when you check it out, it's not like the first world country where you have support centers, support mechanism in place. So that's one thing. The infrastructure, I would say, needs to be improved. The programs needs to be put in place for the rehabilitation of these persons. Again, it boils down to education, the training. How do you handle these people? How do you provide support for these persons? But again, there is hope because there it is. We have the network. And part of the network is the focus point of parents and caregivers and persons with disability and how to advocate themselves too. Because sometimes too, if you yourself don't advocate, you get nothing. So we also have to encourage those persons to advocate for themselves. And by doing that, we will improve the system. We will get more support. And one of the things I must say that is the strongest part that we have as a region, the large diaspora members who can provide those kind of assistance. And again, that's why I'm so happy that the network has started because bringing organizations who are out there doing some of these work to the table and everybody have that collective thinking and come up with a strategic plan to address some of these issues we will move forward as a region to better the lives for all persons.
Nice, wonderful. As we reflect on the conference last year in Grenada, what would you say were the key points that you took away from it? And I know that you're extremely enthused and energetic about fulfilling the mandate. So tell us, what are some of the key points that you are looking to work on in the coming years?
One of the key points for me was the importance of the voice being heard from person with disability. Usually I was so, I don't know, words cannot express how I felt to see persons with disability in the room having a voice, nobody blocking them out, nobody said they cannot attend, persons in wheelchair, the blind, the deaf. Every sort of disability was there, and that was one of the highlights for me, one of. Another important aspect that came out of the conference was the think tank groups, where we identify persons in their field, the strengths of each person, and provide that opportunity for them to participate in these four think tank groups areas. And then we left the conference with short-term, medium, and long-term goals, which is crucial because going to a conference, just talking and not coming out with actionable item, that's not productive. So we came out with tangible items, like, for instance, we looked at infrastructure through the UK CIF assessment. How are we going to really implement some of those short low-hanging fruits that we could fix immediately for airport, for cruise ship pier, for school, for town centers, easable stuff that we can fix. It shouldn't take 5 years to fix. It should take 6 months to fix. That's one. Two, we came out of the importance of legislation. Without legislation, we're not moving forward. So I must say kudos to Barbados to being the new kid on the block to implement the Caribbean Disability Act. Kudos to Barbados. Belize was just before you, then Barbados. Let's see who else, because the goal is by 2030, we should have 80% of the region all have disability acts. That's the goal. Another thing is education, inclusive education. Something that plan to ramp up, should be a regional. We should have mechanism in place that everyone can learn and access, a sign language equipment that nobody should say, well, I can't go to learn because I don't have access. So we know that's another pet point as a major takeaway from the conference that we plan to move forward and address. And I know that education will play another role in the next upcoming conference this year, that hopefully we'll look at what was discussed in that think tank group, because we had a think tank group, Education and Disaster Preparedness. And I must say, we are ticking the box because out of the disability think tank group, Educational and Disaster Preparedness, we already came about to start a project on disaster preparedness training for persons with disability. So that's really good that out of those think tank, we're hitting the mark, we're hitting the ground to accomplish some of the work that was outlined and some of the stuff that needs to be done from the conference last year.
Now, Andrew, how do you plan to really generate and sustain this work using the expertise all of the Caribbean diaspora in the US and the experts here in the Caribbean?
Well, usually, Grandma always said, do not put our egg in one basket. And as a nonprofit organization, and I see it in the region that a lot of the organization, they sit down and wait on funding. And when the funding dry up, everybody falls or cripples and everybody close down. But not with us. We are very actively in fundraising efforts, creating fundraising projects to generate income, work with persons who can volunteer their time and effort to reduce the cost. We know that the world climate has changed now where funds are scarce. So to sustain ourselves, we have to think strategically, be innovative, and that's what we have to do in terms of how are we going to be sustainable. And that's what I've been doing here. So creating events, creating fundraising efforts, and collaborating and partnership will take us for the next 100 years. And that's the goal, you know, for us to be sustainable is looking at ways in which we can benefit from programs through fundraising effort. Yeah, we're still going to get 1 and 2 grants here and there, but it should not only rely solely on grants, because when that dries up, we should always have a backup plan. And part of that backup plan is how are we fundraising, our efforts in fundraising for us to be sustainable.
Yeah, I think that's a crucial discussion that needs to be ongoing so that we're able to really sustain the groups, you know, sustain the work that the organizations are doing, because there is such tremendous benefits to the population of people with disabilities in the region. Now, Andrew, earlier you mentioned that with the conference last year, you sought to ensure that the Dutch and the French-speaking islands were involved. Can you share any light on how the disabled populations are faring, particularly in a country like Haiti?
Absolutely. One of the things that we've been doing too at the network is a mechanism of outreach. And I spoke about community engagement earlier today in a meeting and how important it is to engage with the community in various forms. I know one of my directors have been communicating with the people on the ground in Haiti. It's rough, but again, that collaborative support and that community effort is crucial for our community. We know it's rough there. Things are really going on rough. But to be able to communicate with them and see where we can give our support is crucial. Just like how if we have a disaster and things happen, we all rally around and try and support in any means and any effort. That's something we also have to address in terms of what if a population just like Haiti will become, you know, so in that situation that how are our disability communities faring? And that's something that I've always asked, even when I go on forum with the ambassadors and the elected officials. I always ask that question, what are you doing for our disability community? And I must say that it's a work in progress. We have been you know, getting details on how things are. It's not that great, but at least we're engaging with them to see where they're going, especially Haiti. We know that the French and the Dutch are governed by the European laws. So for them, they have a backing that they could rely on. You know, they have to support, you know, social services and those kind of things are in place because it's mandatory by the law of the European Union. But like, for instance, Haiti and other countries that are really in dire state need, definitely certain mechanism has to be in place, and we have to constantly again advocate. Advocacy is the key, and advocacy in many forms, advocacy in writing, in placarding, in speaking out, in many things, you know. I remember when I was at the UN conference in Kenya, And I was at the refugees and humanitarian discussion. I brought up that. I actually brought up Haiti because there was a lot of concern about the humanitarian being affected and the attack on persons who are providing support. And I was able to put my two cents there. So those are some of the stuff that we can do at the advocacy group on that level, so that we're not left out, because nothing was mentioned on Haiti at that, and I was able to bring that up at that level. So
Wonderful. I know that where humanitarian aid is concerned, not just in the Caribbean, but right across the world, persons with disabilities are often overlooked. They're either pushed to the side as people try to obtain the items that are being disbursed. And therefore, it's really essential, as you pointed out earlier, that our voices be raised in advocating for better humanitarian approaches in distributing aid as disaster occurs, particularly within our region, the Caribbean region. So we really appreciate the work that is being done in that area and all the other areas. Now, Andrew, time is really catching up with us, and it goes by so quickly as we, become very engaged in these type of conversations. What is one area or one goal that you personally would like to achieve, sitting as, the chair of the Authentic Caribbean Foundation, to give that impetus to us here in the region where disability is concerned?
well, one of the goal is how can we better persons on the ground who are really doing the work. So amplifying capacity for NGOs, amplifying their voices, strengthening them, because as I said, civil society is really weak in the region. So I want to see a stronger civil society actively playing a role to make changes, because changes happen from the grassroots. It doesn't happen from the top. And one of the things the region has really affected us is the lack of knowledge, education. I'm not saying that we're not educated in the region, because we have so much best education. But sometime from a grassroots level, people don't understand the process. People don't understand policies. And that's something I want to see changes happen, where someone on the street can understand the policy that is being made in the government legislation. People need to understand that, so they know their rights, they know what is happening, and if they agree with it or not agree with it. And I think that's a big issue in the region, because democracy all over is similar. Laws are being made, policies are being signed, and nobody knows, and nobody until the last minute you see it in the paper. So I think that's something. And the role of community groups and community organization, it has to reach to that level where we are on the ground, really denting some changes. And persons, as I said before, it was so good, a fresh glass of lemonade. The conference was for persons, because people were getting dismayed, nobody listening to us, nobody inviting us, nobody hearing from us. And then to just have this conference where we had regional persons from the disability community come in, we had local people in the community come out to hear and speak and learn and be involved. And that's the change that needs to happen, the involvement of the community and educating them, not handout. Because in the region, it's been used as a tool to quiet the voices and not to educate our people more. Because I know I can get a $500 a handout. No, that shouldn't be the case. We all have to build our community to open them, as what Bob Marley say, emancipate ourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. And this emancipating ourselves from mental slavery comes down back to the knowledge that every one of us should have, should know, because knowledge is power. And that's what I want to see the region, because right now in the world, the region is the safest and the best place to be. And we might have our few little errors and our problems, but it can be fixed and it can be better and it must be better. And emancipating our community is so crucial for them to advocate, for them to know what's going on, for them to speak, for them to be involved in the process. So, as I said, there is bright future ahead. There are a few of us leaders out there who are doing great jobs, and it's just for us to continue to amplify the voice, collaborate, and we will achieve.
Yes, so Andrew, you're doing tremendous work through the Authentic Caribbean Foundation, and now we're working diligently, which is what we need right now in the Caribbean through the Caribbean Disability Network. So hats off to you, hats off to your board and other members who are really working to ensure that the rights of persons with disabilities in the region are not only recognized, but really become a reality, that those rights are respected, you know, that persons with disabilities are treated humanely and really integrated into the social fabric of all our countries in the region. So I say thank you for the great work you are doing so far, and we look forward to seeing and hearing lots more coming out of the Caribbean Disability Network and the Authentic Caribbean Foundation. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yuda Lee Wickham Ashby, and my very special guest.
Andrew
Had
Sharp,
a
it's a pleasure, Yudeli. It's so great to be on your program. Keep up the good work. Voices are always important.
Oh yeah.
Really appreciate the work that you're doing.
Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246 269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300, and you can email me visionsbarbados@gmail.com. Remember, you can listen to this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website. So until next week, love yourself. Love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself. Ciao!